Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Well, it's a very great privilege for me to preach on this very special Sunday for the Wilby family. What have we actually achieved for Zach? Well, we've got him a little bit wet. We've made a fuss of him. We've made a fuss of the family. It's great for us all to be together like this. But what have we actually achieved? Well, we've committed ourselves to praying for him. This is very important. We've admitted him formally into the life of the church. We've said, Zach is one of our own, and we'll train him in the Christian faith. Our religious acts, of course, cannot actually impact a child's heart. Only God can impact a child's heart, which is why we must pray for Zach and for his parents, and why we must teach him the Bible. There are about 26 million baptized Anglicans in England, more than half the population. There are less than 1 million Anglicans in church on a Sunday. What does that tell you? It tells you that religious acts don't change lives. Only God can change a life. The other 25 million need the Holy Spirit to do the thing of which baptism speaks. We, all of us, need the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to help us to turn from the things which we do which are wrong, and to put our faith fully in Jesus, so that we know him in a personal way. That's what Hosea 6 is saying. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. We're studying Hosea at Christ Church at the moment. The situation in Hosea's day, sometime in the second half of the 8th century BC, or the early part of the 7th century, is that God's people have turned away from him. They're like an adulterous wife. They're described in X-rated terms. God has loved them. God has made them his people. He's like a husband to them. He is faithful. He is good to them. And in return, Israel has rejected its bridegroom. Israel has committed spiritual adultery with the Baals and the Asherahs. The Baals and the Asherahs were Canaanite fertility gods and goddesses. If you wanted Baal to bless your harvest with fruitfulness, what you did was you took a cultic prostitute. So individual men were literally committing sexual unfaithfulness. And this was a graphic picture of the nation's spiritual unfaithfulness to God. And although in England we do not have cultic prostitutes, not by and large, in a sense, we have been unfaithful to God. Britain is among the most blessed of nations. From very early on, there's been a church here. Even before Augustine brought Christianity back to England, he was made Archbishop of Canterbury in 598. There was a Celtic church, he says as a true Welshman, but don't mention the rugby. The Roman Christians had left their presence in the Celtic fringe. We were greatly blessed to have a Reformation in the 16th century. We've just been celebrating the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, which has had a huge impact on the English-speaking world. We've had wonderful revivals. At the beginning of the 18th century, we were in a dire state spiritually. And in his mercy, God sent Wesley and Whitfield, and the English church was revived. Vast numbers were converted. And historians attribute the fact that we were spared a revolution like the French, with all its terrible bloodshed and a century of instability, to the fact that there was an evangelical revival. At one point in the 1830s, every single member of the cabinet was an evangelical. To this day, prayers are said in Parliament. Some of us still have the privilege of going into schools and taking assemblies. We have a Queen who is a Christian and who takes seriously her role as the defender of the faith. But what are we doing? We're throwing it all away. We're exchanging faith in God for materialism, self-indulgence. What's the answer? Well, one answer would be to go with the flow, to accept secular humanism as the religion of the day. It is a religion. It's a religion without God. It's true materialism. The physical, material world is all there is. So live for material things. Things you can touch and taste and experience with your senses. So what this means is we work to get money. We spend it on things, stuff. We acquire possessions. Of course, we long for relationships. And these can be very satisfying. But a relationship with another person was never meant to take the place of a relationship with God. We were meant to have our greatest need for intimacy met in God. And so when we neglect our relationship with God, we put pressure on our human relationships, a pressure they were never designed to stand. And unsurprisingly, we live in a society of broken relationships. So there's one response to our problem. We could go with the flow. We could live the life of secular humanism. Another response to our situation is sacramentalism. This means we baptize people. Baptism is a sacrament. We keep giving communion. Communion is the other sacrament in Protestantism. Catholicism has other sacraments. We just keep the sacraments going. Whether or not people live as Christians, just keep the system going. That's how you end up with 26 million baptized Anglicans and 1 million in church. This answer has been a failure. People get baptized, they don't know what it means. Godparents take on the responsibility, they don't know what it means. This is not the answer. The answer is in Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Old Testament equivalents of baptism and communion were sacrifices in the temple, and of course circumcision. I'm sure you can picture the scene. People would go to the temple and make sacrifices there. They would kill an altar, kill an animal on the altar. And the Old Testament law told them to do this. But now, God is saying he doesn't want it. He doesn't want burnt offerings in verse 6. He wants to be acknowledged. He desires mercy. In other words, he desires a change of life, a change of heart. You may know about the way Jesus dealt with religious people in his day. For example, Luke 11:37 and following. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee, a religious leader, invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." That's all religion can do for you. It cleans the outside of the cup and dish. It leaves all the muck on the inside. And so Jesus provokes a conflict with the religious leaders, a conflict which will lead to his death. Because frankly, he has nothing but contempt for empty religion. And that is what Hosea is saying. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Acknowledgement of God, not burnt offerings. Not religion, not trips to the temple, not outward formularies. So do you see, the worst thing we could do for Zach today would be to baptize him and then to think, well, that's it. Job done. He's been done now. No. Now the work begins. Now we teach him about Christ. Now we teach him the Bible. Now we pray for him. What Zach needs, what we all need, is a relationship with God. The Bible is very clear. This is why we were created. We were created in the image of God, to be like God, to know God. Listen to what Jesus said about this. He said in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9 and following, "When you pray, say, Father, our Father in heaven." Do you see what he's saying there? He's not advocating being religious. He's talking about knowing God personally as a father. This was unknown in Judaism, that the great God of heaven and earth, who made the world, who is the judge of all, can be known as Zachary knows David. We can know God as our Father. This is what we must pray for Zach. We all need to learn to live with this perspective. So I don't live for self, for self-gratification. I live for God. You know the words of the Lord's Prayer? Incidentally, when Robert Louis Stevenson was a boy, he once remarked to his mother, "Mummy, you can't be good without praying." "How do you know that, Robert?" "Because I've tried," he answered. That brings to mind another story about a little man, one who'd been sent to his room for being bad. A short time later, he came out and said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer. That's fine, she said. If you ask God to make you good, he will help you. Oh, I didn't ask him to help me to be good, replied the boy. I asked him to help you put up with me. That was just light relief. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means honored. The goal of Zachary's life must be to honor God. So we pray he will grow up, do well in school, go to university, get a good job, perhaps get married, perhaps have a family. But his purpose in all of this will not be his own success. His purpose will be God's name being honored. Now, this is a different way of living. Zach will learn to say, your kingdom come. In other words, God is the king, and we want his rule to be extended. And this happens when individuals put their personal faith in God. God's kingdom is established one heart at a time, not by violence or coercion. And Zach, therefore, will want to tell people about Jesus so that God's kingdom may come. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is perfect obedience to God's will. That's what we pray for. That's what we work towards here on earth. And then, because Zachary will know God personally, he can ask God for his needs. Give us today our daily bread. God is a faithful God. The missionary statesman Hudson Taylor wrote in his journal, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply." Jesus says in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek God. Seek to know him. Seek his righteousness. Seek to be like him. Be in a relationship with him. And trust him for everything. This is what we want for Zach. And then, of course, what Zach needs, what we all need, is there in the Lord's Prayer, verse 12. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." We all need forgiveness. It is possible to dull a conscience. But at 3 a.m., when we can't sleep, we know we need forgiveness. And the amazing good news, which I can share with you today, is that forgiveness is freely available. This is how it works. We've ignored God. We've rebelled against him. He is perfectly within his rights to punish our sin. But because he is a loving and merciful God, he wants to offer us forgiveness. And this is how it works. Before the creation of the world, it was decided that Jesus, God the Son, would leave the glory of heaven, be born in poverty, live a perfect life, die on the cross in our place, taking the punishment for the things we've done wrong. In this way, God can justly punish sin. Jesus willingly takes our place, and God can freely forgive sin and remove the obstacle which stands between us and him. Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, becomes a meaningful prayer. And then the forgiven person lives life with a new purpose. Lead us not into temptation. I don't want to do the things I used to do. I want to be delivered from the evil one. I don't want to go Satan's way. I want to go God's way. Our great prayer for Zach is that he will grow up loving God, trusting God, knowing victory over temptation, knowing deliverance from the evil one. Will you join us in helping Zach, in praying for his parents? Will you give some consideration to your own soul? Where do you stand? Are you a materialist? A secular humanist? Are you religious? But here's the important question. Do you know God? If not, come and talk to us afterwards. We have a book we can sell you called Cure for Life. It goes through the evidence that the Christian faith is true, why we can trust the Bible, and so on. We also run a course called Christianity Explored, which goes over the basics of the Christian faith, and at which you can ask all your questions. It's a relaxed evening over a meal. But perhaps there is someone here, and you've asked all your questions. You know the time has come for you to make Jesus your King and your Saviour, your Rescuer. Don't delay. Sort things out with him today. So thank you for giving me the privilege of preaching here today. God bless Zach and the whole family. Amen.